welcome to the Elevated Visibility Podcast, the podcast for female founders who are looking for more than just easy marketing tips and feel-good strategy and craving deep connection. I'm your host, Nina Gibson, holistic SEO expert and visibility enthusiast who is hell-bent on giving women a voice and a platform to use it. In this space, we chat all things SEO and marketing for your brand and business, but we also peel back the layers and the bullshit and dive deep into what it means to feel visible as business owners, women, moms, and more. If you're ready for holistic marketing strategy mixed in with some soulful storytelling, this podcast is for you. Welcome. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Elevated Visibility Podcast. I am so excited for today's guest, Michelle Quay. She is amazing, awe-inspiring, and has one hell of a story to share with you. Michelle is an international speaker, certified visibility coach, content marketing strategist, and author. As the founder of Elevate Life Coaching, Michelle mentors women to use the power of storytelling as their secret sauce in attracting clients and turning their passion for coaching into a profitable business. I love all of it. I am so, so excited. All right, let's get started. You have an incredible story, and I would be so honored if you would share it with us today and give us a little bit of your background and who you are and your entrepreneurship journey, all of it. I know we want to hear all of it. So if you're good with that, let's just dive right in.
Let's dive right in. I think for most people, including the listeners, when people ask you, like, what is your story? You're caught in that moment of shocking and like, okay, where do I begin? Right. And so I would say that my story really began when I was 11 years old. Prior to 11, I was just a normal kid, you know, nothing special. I was probably the bizarre child ever. I'm the middle child. I have a brother and a sister. So I'm caught in the middle. So I did have this middle child syndrome where I need the attention, but I'm not getting it. But, you know, after 11 years old, things started to change. I would say my whole family dynamic started to change. At age 11, I had a big car accident. I was coming off from school one day. And then as I was crossing the street to meet my mom, there was a taxi that just ran a red light and it was coming towards me really fast. So by the time I woke up, I was waking up in the hospital. So a lot of the details to what exactly had happened during the accident, I had no recollection. It was all based on witness hearsay. And so apparently it was running so fast that there's no way for me to like get to avoid it altogether. From 11 years old to 15 years old, I was in and out of the hospital. Luckily, I was not paralyzed. However, I had a lot of broken bones and basically from my hip all the way to my ankle, my doctor had to stabilize it. So he wrapped me with the plaster and sent me home. So following that accident for a good 3 months, I had no activity, no school. Yay. Right? Yay. <Yeah. laughs> Wouldn't that be nice? No more school. Yeah. And 3 months, I didn't have to go to school. I had nothing else to do. So there was a lot of time on my hand. And one of the things that my mom decided to do was she wanted to keep me busy without thinking like, oh, I need to go out to play. So she brought me a lot of books and she also made me watch a lot of like stories and videos. And so I grew up reading and my room is currently surrounded with books. So I'm an avid reader. And so my whole entire world has been filled with stories. And sometimes these stories are the stuff that I tell myself. How do I look? Am I good enough? You know, when I went to junior high, there was a lot of that peer pressure. I wanted to look pretty. I wanted to be presentable. I want to start going out and date boys. And there was a lot of stories. So these narratives turned inward and they became judgment. So growing up, there's a lot of self-judgment. I grew up in a very traditional Chinese culture family. I was born in Taiwan. I didn't come to America till I was 15. So growing up in a very traditional, heavily cultured Chinese environment, depression was not something that we can talk about in the family. We didn't know what it was. We go through life and there's a moment where, you know, ups and down. And when you're in the down, people just believe that you can just overcome it, right? We can just power through and we can get to it. We can fight through it. And that was kind of like my family situation. I never voiced how I was feeling to my family member. Like, we don't say, I love you in my family. That's not something that we said. It's just something that we do to show each other. And I would say because my dad has a military background. So a lot of his love is more like tough love. Okay. Mm-hmm. You fall, get up and stand up. Right. And so that's how I grew up. And my background, I came from 20 years of healthcare profession, and there's no business background whatsoever. So listeners who's about to start your own business, I would encourage you, just because it's something that you've never tried before, with that idea, you know, there's something that you can do with that idea. I had no business background, no marketing background. So I had to start everything from scratch. In a healthcare setting, I'm a clinical pharmacist. So a lot of time when you go to Walgreens, go to CVS, go to the counter and ask for consult, ask for help, right? So people come to me. And I was used to that concept of people will come to me. If I'm there, people will just come. But that's not the case with business. When you have your own business as a solopreneur or entrepreneur, you start, the role kind of just reverse, right? So instead of people come to you, you have to figure out a way to be visible. And I know Nina can relate to this. You need to be visible. You need to be in front of the audience in order for them to find you. And that was like a complete new concept to me in terms of going out there, start marketing myself, start promoting myself, start talking about myself. Like now we're talking about my story. And, you know, it was a big struggle. My first video, my first YouTube video totally tanked. Because I didn't know how to talk to people. And so there's a lot of learning curve just from 11 all the way up until this point. I'm still a work in progress. I'm still learning how to connect, make that connection. So it feels genuine. It feels authentic.
I love your energy. And I think that anybody who's listening right now can feel how infectious it is. And just the vibrancy that is like emanating off of you as you're talking about all of this. And I feel like it's what you said at the beginning is when somebody asks us, so what is your story, right? It's kind of like one of those things where we all have a story or something that we've put together. But I feel like sometimes we forget how meaningful and impactful our individual experiences can be for other people. And a story like yours that has so much perseverance, self-reflection, like that digging deep, right? And really pulling those things out of you. I think sometimes we forget that we have a lot of power within ourselves and our own stories about that. So let's talk a little bit, you mentioned it a little bit, but let's talk a little bit about storytelling and marketing and kind of how throughout your journey, as you've sort of come to that as something that you teach and you talk about and you think is so important, which it is. I mean, it totally is. Our stories, our authenticity, that's such a big part of it. But talk to me a little bit more about that, storytelling and marketing.
Yeah. So in our life, basically, there are three types of story that we tell. One is our own narrative, right? The story that we tell ourselves. The second type of story is the story that you tell your audience. And the last type of story is the story that you tell to your team, to your organization, to within your company. So those are the three major type of storytelling that we do in our everyday life. If you want to substitute storytelling to a message, how do we translate that message so that the world can see it? There's messages that we told ourselves. There's messages that we told our audience. There's also messages that we share within our team members. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to storytelling, my personality is somewhat slighted towards introverted. I'm a very introverted person until kind of like in pandemic when I discovered that, oh, no more going out. Yay. You know, that was like a great news for an introverted type of personality. I'm like, okay, so what can I do to be in front of the audience? So one of the things I started to do was doing more live. I was doing more videos. I was producing more content. And where do I come up with all these type of content? I had to start thinking about what in my life had made me a better person. And it wasn't, I didn't know anybody else except talking about myself. But the idea of promoting myself, it's uncomfortable for an introverted. And I truly believe that a lot of us got into coaching, not because we want to make the 6, 7, 8 figures. It's because we see the value of making a difference in people's life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The money is just a bonus. As you do things, the money would just come. But initially, when you jump into coaching, I bet like 99.99% of us, we jump in because there's a passion. We want to change the world. We want to make this a better place for others. And so the idea of promoting ourselves or marketing ourselves, it's very uncomfortable for a lot of people. And that was the case for me. I didn't know how to promote myself, but I did know about my journey of how I was having a disability. But I brought my crutches. I booked myself a ticket to Machu Picchu. I hiked through the Inca Trail, 26 miles, just on my crutches. That was the only story that I knew that I can tell. It was something that it was a life experience that I did. And going through that journey, there's things that I have learned. I'm not promoting. I'm not marketing. I'm just simply sharing an experience, how transformation is possible. And so when we do storytelling marketing, it's about sharing a story that teaches a lesson that people can learn a value. And it could be a value of yourself, or it could be a value about your company or what you believe in and what do you believe would make this world a better place to be. Mm. And that's how I started storytelling.
I love that so much. I think you have to, I mean, I've read about it, but I think the listeners would love to know a little bit more about Machu Picchu because it's just an incredible, incredible story. But I think that this is, you said something about the stories that we tell ourselves. And I think that that's such a big part of unpacking the storytelling and marketing because we have to put some of those stories that we've internalized aside. I'm not worthy. I don't have anything important to share. Nobody wants to listen to me. All of these things. And I think that that's such, I love that you bring it up because I think it's so important because for me, a lot of what I've had to push aside is that narrative, the stories that I've told myself about myself for all of this time and be like, actually, I do have things of value to share and transformations and life lessons, like you said. So I think that that's such an important piece of it is to understand that we all have something of value to share. So before we go a little bit more into the strategic, like how to, you know, get clients with this storytelling. Tell us a little bit about the Machu Picchu because I'm so inspired by this story and I'd love for you to share it.
Yeah.
If you would like to. Yeah.
Of course. So I decided after a lifelong of self-judgment and feeling sorry for myself and playing small, when I was 40, I woke up one day and I'm like, you know, this is not the way I want to live my life anymore. And I need to change. What can I do? And it was very limited because physically, I can't go to the gym. I never step a foot into the gym. I never used the treadmill, never used any of the equipment. I didn't know how to. So at that time, you know, what really hinted me that I needed to change was one day I was in my car and I was driving and I noticed that there's a little dark stain on my t-shirt. So I step out of the car and then I'm like, where the hell did that come from? So I step back into the car and there it was. My stomach was pressing against the steering wheel. So when I turned, it was creating a stain on my white t-shirt. I'm like, holy cow, I can't be this way. You know, I need to start doing some movement. And so the first thing I did was going to Target and I bought myself a Pilates ball. I said, okay, so if I can't run, at least some type of movement would be helpful. So I went and bought myself a Pilates ball. I start using it, YouTubed it. YouTube is your best friend, by the way, if you're looking for information. And Nina can show you about the SEO.
Yes.
How to make it discoverable.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was the first thing I did. I went and searched for YouTube, like how to use a Pilates ball for people who have physical limitation. And then I start doing that for 2 weeks. Right after that, I decided I'm going to go to the gym. Hire myself a personal trainer, started working out. I got so addicted to it. I spent 2 hours every day in the gym. Next thing you know, I'm like, oh, I wanted to be more ambitious. Friends are going to Machu Picchu. I wonder what that experience looks like. So I got really curious. I came back to my personal trainer. I say, hey, you know, I would like to hike. He's like, okay, where do you want to go? Like the little hill over here? I'm like, heck no, I'm going to Machu Picchu. His jaw dropped, and that whole experience is just transformational. I flew into Machu Picchu to Peru by myself to Cusco. I spent there for a week just to acclimate for the high altitude because there's a lot of high altitude syndrome, and train myself by just walking every day in that higher altitude environment, exploring the town. It was a beautiful experience. And then the day before the hike, I actually came down with stomach flu. So I would check into hospital 2 days before the big hike. And I remember I was just sleeping in that bed, hospital bed, and I was telling the doctor, you have to let me out because I came here. I have a mission. I have something to do and you got to discharge me. You got to let me out. I need to be on that hike. So she did. She gave me some prescription drugs, sent me away. And the 2 days I started the hike. First day was really rough because I had no idea of what to expect. So the whole time I'm pushing down on my two crutches and it was just push up after push up after push up. I use a lot of upper body so that it doesn't create a lot of pressure on my leg. So I was doing a lot of push up just on day one. It took me 10 hours to finally get to the campsite that night. Typically, for any normal, healthy individual, probably 8 hours, but I needed that extra 2 hours to get to the campsite to meet everybody. And I remember that night, my tour leader sat me down and he goes, Michelle, you know, you have two choices now. One is you can go back and just call it a day, have someone to take you back because you're being very slow. And I remember the whole time I was slower than the donkey. The donkey was carrying a lot of stuff. I'm just slower than the donkey. So day one, he said, you have choices now. One is to go back and the other one is you continue. But knowing that the second day is going to be harder, it's going to be longer. How do you want to choose? So there I was in the middle of nowhere inside a tent. I had to make a life decision. Do I go back or do I keep moving forward? And so, of course, you know, if we were to jump into the story, I decided to stay. And saying, you know, just because you decide to stay doesn't make things easier. It probably makes things harder, right? Mm-hmm. So second day was the longest, the hardest. But I went to the peak of 14,000 feet on the peak of Machu Picchu. They called it the Dead Woman's Pass. I wonder why they called it Dead Woman's Pass.
I'm glad you didn't find out. Yeah.
Right? By the time you get out there, you're dead.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt. But I was so glad. I was about 100 feet away from seeing the post, the milestone post. Mm-hmm. And I started to break down in tears and cry. I could not believe when you persevere, when you commit, when you are determined, things will start to change. You see progress. You see transformation. You see all the things that made the entire trip worthwhile. Mm. And so I carry a lot of that mindset into helping entrepreneurs, helping coaches, getting into that space that, yes, this is not going to be easy just because you decide on something. But as you move, as you persevere, things will get better. Things will change. You're going to evolve. Your business is going to evolve. We never step into the river twice. And that's how business is. You just keep evolving until things, you can actually make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And every day we're making a difference.
Yes. I'm just like, I wish you guys could see me because I'm just sitting here like completely entranced by the story. And it's so true because what you said is just because you decide to do it doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And I think that this is one of the things that sometimes we forget. I was talking about this with my mom and we were just talking about life and things. And it was kind of a heavy conversation. And I said to her, I said, Mom, you always had a choice. You just didn't like the choice. And I think sometimes running our businesses is like that. We think, well, I can't do that. Or that's not going to happen. Or I can't do that. Of course we can do it. We just don't like the choice or the solution or things like that. Because it, maybe it means putting ourselves out there more and being vulnerable or being on video all the time. And, you know, introverts, I'm like you, introvert, extrovert, kind of like, you know, I love people, but I'm also like, I'm going to go hide over here in the corner. So I totally feel that. But I think that something to remember is, yes, just because you've made the choice doesn't make it easy, but it's going to be so, so worth it. So I feel like it's just, it's so, so inspiring to me. So with the storytelling piece, if you were to talk to like a potential client or somebody that you're working with, because storytelling is a buzzword right now, you and I talked about that a little bit before. What would you just say to somebody about, you know, okay, this is great, Michelle. I have this amazing story. Now, how the hell do I use it to get clients? What do I do with it? You know, aside from just talking about it, what are some things that you would say to somebody asking that?
I think as a service-based entrepreneurs and coaches, it's really important to center your service around values. And one of the things that we use all the time as coaches is we use value assessment for our clients, right? Mm-hmm. And so we walk them through that assessment of identifying what are your top 3 to 5 non-negotiable values, then why are you not using it in your own business? So the way that I like to approach storytelling is because storytelling is always about a lesson's values that you're teaching, then focus on the value that you're bringing into your business. Let's say, for example, my top 3 values are authenticity, bravery, and connection or community. And so when I first started doing storytelling, all I did was talking about my values. What are some of the stories that you can share that talks about authenticity? How does authenticity show up for you in your life, in your business, in your everyday activity with and relation with others? So how does bravery show up? Talk about the stories around bravery. How does courage show up for you in your business, in your life, in your relation with others? And same thing with community. Why community is a big thing. So instead of, you know, having this all these idea of I have my whole entire life is full of story, where do I begin? Start thinking just the smaller step. What are your value? Teach that to your audience. And when you teach it, you want to teach it in the format of a storytelling. What happened in the past? So you walk people through a sequence, right? Not the detail, but the sequence of the event of how that happened and what was the transformation that you received at the end. And that is going to connect with your audience, number one. Number two is it's going to come off so genuine and authentic. People are reading your posts. People are reading your blog. People are consuming your videos, but they don't realize that they're being sold. Mm. They're being sold because they connect with you as a person. And so the choice you make is based on your own superpower that you have within. And it's not about someone else's choosing for you. You know, Coach A may have a different marketing strategy. Coach B has another set of marketing strategy, but you have your own. Mm. What feels right for you? Tell that. Tell that in the format of values. Share that in the format of a story. Walk them through the sequence, right? The beginning, the middle, and the end. What is that transformation like? Mm. So that's how we do storytelling.
Mm, I love that. I think that that's, you know, we all, what you said is so true. Like when we're, especially for service providers or coaches, we're always talking about like your pillars and your values. And this is how you need to center your content, you know, around those. But then we often forget to talk about them ourselves and use that as like a jumping off point for ourselves and our own businesses. And I think it's really important. And this is something I did in the very beginning that I don't even know why. I don't know if somebody told me to do it or I read about it, but transparency is one of mine, authenticity and community. Those are sort of my 3 big ones, sort of similar. And I don't think that enough business owners really think about that. You know, I think sometimes it's there, you know, everybody has different motivations in business, but for those of us who are really genuinely seeking transformation for other people, if you're listening to this and you're stuck, go back to those values. This is such good. This is like golden nugget advice right here. Go back to those values and use that as a jumping off point for the storytelling and the marketing. I love that so much.
It's also how you attract your clients. Mm-hmm. When you think about how do I get more client? How do I get more clients? When you talk about your value, how Nina and I connected, because we have a shared connection value. We have a shared transparency or authenticity value. So the people that who start coming into your world, chances are they share the similar values. By all the clients that I have worked with, one of the biggest value that they have is authenticity. Mm. And that's how they resonated with the message I was sharing. So by centering around your value, you start to get clients who want the value, who share the value, who believe in them. And it's so much easier to work with those type of clients versus someone else who may not, you know, there is a disconnect with
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, that the attraction component of that is so important, right? And this has been part of the biggest part of my entrepreneurial journey because it's been a personal development one too, which I'm sorry, listeners, I talk about it like on every single podcast, personal development, entrepreneurship, they're so closely related. But that's the thing, right? When you show up and you put the blinders on to the people who are not meant for you, but the people who, you know, and open up yourself to the people who are, there's such a big shift in your business that happens when you do that and you show up unapologetically. And I noticed that for myself last year when I was like, okay, you know what? I was so afraid of just being myself because I was afraid people were going to be like, who is this woman? Like, who is this crazy person? But then I started showing up and people are like, I love how raw you are. I love how authentic you are. And I'm like, oh, okay. It clicked, right? And so that's exactly it. And I love that you brought up how we were connected too, right? You listen to people or find out about people or get referred to people and you read about them or they talk to you and you're like, oh, you're my people. And then, you know, and it creates this snowball effect. And I love that so much because that's a big part of this too. Is creating sort of that like chain link of connection through the connecting of our different values and our core pillars. I love this so much. This is such an awesome conversation. So, yeah. So if you were talking to somebody who was like, okay, Michelle, this is amazing. I love the storytelling and I understand what you're saying, but I'm just having this doubt in my mind about people wanting to hear what I have to share. And I think you had said in the beginning when we were talking earlier before we started recording about taming that inner critic and sort of being like, okay, you know, pushing those thoughts aside. Talk to us a little bit about some of your strategies and ways to do that. Because I think that that's a really important part of this.
Yeah. So my biggest thing about taming the inner critic is, so there's a couple of ways that you can do that, right? You can journal and have that self-talk and written it down. Sometimes that helps. You can do meditation. But one of the things that I've learned in my life is actually think about creating a separate image. So I want you to visualize, like when that negative self-talk, when that inner critic is talking to you, what does that look like? And it doesn't have to be like, you know, some person that you hate. It would just be very neutral. But, you know, if you think about what does that person look like, for me, that person looks like a Barbie doll. That person is beautiful. Perfect in the shape and the way that she dressed. She even has Ken, you know, driving around town in a car. And when I look at myself, that's everything that I don't have. And that was my inner critic. So I visualize this inner critic to be something that is outside of me. And we're just having a team meeting. We're just having a conversation right there, right? Every day. And I'm going to sit down with Barbie and I'm going to say, hey, so here's my vision and dream. How can you help me? How can you support me? So instead of letting your inner critic be in the driver's seat, nowadays I put my Barbie doll in the passenger seat and we're just going to go through places. And the bigger your vision, the bigger your mission in life, the bigger your fear would be, right? Fear is not going to go away. That feeling of judgment, inner critic, it's not going to go away. Barbie is never going to go away. But Barbie can be helpful, right? Some of the things that we wanted to do, big vision, big projects that we have in our hand, maybe you wanted to consult with Barbie and say, hey, what do you think about this project? What are some of the risks that I might be experiencing? What are some of the challenges I might be experiencing? And you have that superpower inside of you. And there's actually 12 different types. When we talk about branding and talk about that personality archetype, there's 12 of them. Which one would you like to use in this case scenario to face that challenge, to overcome that experience, to avoid all the risks that your inner critic is presenting to you? Come up with solution. Like, it's almost like that visual of a a devil and an angel standing on your shoulder, right?
Yeah.
You wanted to have a team meeting with them, right? And how do you guys feel about this? And just pick a solution that is supportive, that feels genuine, that feels right to your heart, and you have that answer within you. Mm. And focus on that. So I call that the harnessing the power, harnessing your superpower. Because that superpower often is disguised by this inner critic. And mine is in the shape of a Barbie. I have Barbie sitting on my bookshelf, actually. Mm-hmm. I am an actual Barbie. So sometimes, you know, I would talk to my Barbie. Look, I got this big project. I'm going to launch this course. And here's what I need you to do.
I love that. I've never really thought about flipping the script like that and having it be like an ally versus the thing that's keeping and holding you back. And I'm sitting here like processing it. And when we're done recording, I'm going to go sit and like process that, because I've never ever thought about it in that way before, as being like, hey, you're here. You're not going anywhere. But let's collaborate and let's be a team. And if you're listening, or you are listening, this is like amazing. This is something I'm going to really sit with, because all of those things that you described are sort of things that I find too, like, you know, people who have really like strong family units and have extended family and support systems and all of these things that I didn't have and don't have. I look at them and I'm like, they're so much better off than me. They're going to be so much more successful than me. They're going to do things better. And it's so interesting how we kind of put those thoughts in the driver's seat versus being like, okay, you're here, but I'm going to talk to you about it. Oh, this is like, my mind is just like blowing up right now with this. I love it. I love it. That's amazing, Michelle. What a very, very cool way. That's zero shame. That's acknowledging, but not allowing it to dictate. It's amazing. I love it so much.
People avoid it too much, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to avoid the fear. You don't want to avoid the inner critic. You actually want to like listen to it, right? Listen to what it has to say. But does it have a function? Does it have a role right now? Maybe most cases, no. It doesn't have a function. It doesn't have a job. So give it a new job. Its new job is to be your supportive soundboard, right? Anytime you want to do a big project, ask you to bounce it off to that inner critic. And how do you feel? Oh, okay. Thank you for your information. I'm going to do it the other way. Mm. Right? There are some values behind the fear that we have. So it's not entirely against us. It's just part of it. And when you neutralize it, it feels so much better and you accomplish a lot more.
Yeah, I love that so much. Okay. That's just, I'm going to spend so much time thinking about this. So for people who are listening, who are like, oh my God, this woman is my people. She's my people. This is my vibe. How can people work with you?
So the best way to find me is just go to my website, elevatelifecoaching.org. They would be able to find me, and there's a contact box. You can send me a message. There's also a chat box on the website. So just go ahead and hit me an instant chat and I'll be more than happy to connect with them.
Amazing. We'll include everything, all the links in the show notes and how to contact you and find you. Michelle, this has been so amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking time today to talk with me. I am so excited about our conversation, and you've given me so many new things to think about. So I love that. I love that.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. Like, having a good time. I feel like we can talk for hours.
I know. This is what happens when I get on like really amazing like connections. And I'm like, okay, well, I know I need to wrap it up, but there's so many other things that I want to ask you and talk about. So amazing. I love it. Okay. Thank you so much, listeners. Until next time. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Elevated Visibility Podcast. If you loved it and you want to support the podcast, please share it with others, your family, friends, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. I would appreciate it so, so much. Catch all the latest from me. You can follow me on Instagram at ninagibson.co. Until next time.